Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Good evening, Nobodies. This is Adam Felber welcoming you to a very special Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. It's our cuisine show. We're coming to you from Murray's Steakhouse, home of the 48-ounce butter knife steak.
That's right, Adam. Murray's steak is so moist and tender, you can cut it with a butter knife.
Paula and I are going to walk you through how to make this delicacy, starting with selecting the right cut of meat. So before we go upstairs and start a-cooking, let's step inside Murray's copious meat locker to find the perfect T-bone. Wow, it's an immense room, people. It's chilled to freezing in here, and there's racks of prime rib, T-bone steak, filet mignon. Hey, Paula?
Just shutting the door.
Wait!
Don't want to let the cold out. Refrigeration is expensive.
No, wait, Paula, don't!
There! Now, what did you want?
You shut the door.
So?
So? It only opens from the outside.
You're paranoid. I can get this opened. Huh. Funny. Let me try it again. Well, I'll be darned.
Oh, my God. Paula, we're trapped in a meat locker.
Fuck!
Help! Help!
Help!
Help! Help!
Help!
Help! For God's sake, somebody help!
Adam, they can't hear us. Amazingly good insulation in here.
You think?
And nobody will be back to Murray's until tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning? Great Scott, by tomorrow morning, well, the FDA temperature requirements for walk-in freezers is between 0 and minus 10 degrees Fahrenheit. Between hypothermia and frostbite, Paula, if we're locked in here all night, we'll both be dead by morning.
Oh, do you think so?
I know so. It's science.
We should call an expert.
I'm an expert.
Get some advice.
There's no signal.
I got zero bars. Again, that's some really impressive insulation.
I can't believe this. We're going to die. You know, Paula, even though it looks like you just got us both killed.
Again.
I just want to tell you what an honor it's been doing this podcast with you.
Thank you, Adam. And I want you to know you were more than just a guy who was on every show.
Thanks.
So you were that.
Okay.
But you were also always there to make sure I didn't screw up.
Well, until that moment when you sealed us both inside this icy tomb.
Yeah, well, until that.
Yeah.
All this meat hanging around reminds me. Remember that time we reviewed Rocky?
Ha! Rocky, yeah, that was great. Well, you know, I remember that like it was just yesterday. Just yesterday. It's now time for a segment we call Movie Reviews. And you can come up with all these rhymes if you want for these.
Thanks. Nice.
It's a segment that we call Movie Reviews to save you the trouble of seeing the sequel.
Wow.
Yeah. That's actually better than what we were saying at the beginning of the show.
That's a great title. Great title.
Now, if you're sitting there around the Thanksgiving tree right now, you probably know that Creed 2, the sequel to Creed, hit the theaters on November 19th. But what came before Creed? Yes, Rocky Balboa, Rocky 5, Rocky 4, Rocky 3, and Rocky 2.
And before that,
we've decided to review the one that started it all back in 1976, the original Rocky, a Thanksgiving classic.
It is a Thanksgiving classic.
It is a Thanksgiving movie. I didn't realize that until we watched it again. I had not seen You know, I feel like we didn't have a musical fanfare to get us into this review.
Could we have a musical fanfare to get us into? What's the name of the segment again?
It's time for movie reviews to save you the trouble of seeing the sequel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of John Williams there.
Yeah, that was perfect. Perfect.
I feel much more in the segment.
Ooh, yeah, now. I do too. Okay, the reason it's a Thanksgiving favorite, mm-hmm. Rocky, is that their first date, Rocky and Adrian, have their first date on Thanksgiving.
Yes, they do. In fact, she's making a turkey.
Yeah.
And her alcoholic, no good, reprobate brother, Paulie, who is a friend of Rocky's, throws the turkey into the alley to get her to go on a date.
He wants her to go out, and she wants to make the turkey. He says, you want to make the turkey? He throws it. He says, you want to be with the turkey? He throws it out. And there's never any explanation for why he thought that was okay. And, you know, I got to say, I have to confess, the Rocky one holds up fairly well.
It's a pretty good movie.
It's not a great movie.
No.
I mean, first of all, it should have subtitles because Sylvester Stallone wrote it. Yeah. And a lot of
it was written and directed by Sylvester Stallone. No, I'm sorry. Written and starred Sylvester Stallone. He didn't direct it.
Yeah, no, he didn't direct it. But
it was made on a budget of just $1 million.
That the director didn't always feel empowered to make corrections to Rocky, because there are quotes in the movie that sound something like this. And
right. Which is a motif that did inform the rest of Sylvester Stallone's film career.
Yeah. Yeah. And at one point, I think the most, okay, from the very start, and I had forgotten this, I kind of related to Rocky, the character, because he wears a very high-waisted pant.
Boxing shorts?
His boxing shorts were very high-waisted, and also his sweatpants.
That's true. His sweatpants were also very high-waisted. Very high-waisted. It might have been the style of the time. This is 1976.
Yeah. Well, that's... So I wear a retro cottony brief, because I love a high-waisted
cottony
pant.
Cottony brief,
yeah. I do. I love a high-waisted
pants, too. Pant. Yeah.
Any kind of pants that are high-waisted.
It's all really high-waisted.
I'm happy in there. I like it to... I like my breast to hang just slightly over the waistband of my pants.
Slightly over the waistband.
Yeah. It's just a comforting feeling. Yeah. What's funny is that
like that's the advice that men get for what the length of your necktie should be. I have never heard that applied to breasts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ever.
Well, it's not so much because you're not adjusting the size of your breasts.
Right, but you're adjusting
where your waistband goes.
Yeah, your breasts are going to hang where they hang.
You can't really adjust the size of your breasts, unless you have those retractable breasts that are so popular on late night television.
Everybody has those now.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're made
by Flex Seal. All right. So there was that aspect. I did relate to him a little bit in that way. But you know what I remember?
That was it. That was where we broke after that.
What I did remember about the movie, and I was absolutely right, was that the relationship with... So the girlfriend, for those of you who've forgotten, is a girl named Adrian.
Adrian, Talia Shire. She works at the local pet shop where Rocky bought his turtles and still goes there all the time because he's kind of in love with
and
her.
And he bought his fish. And he goes there to flirt with her. He goes there every day on the way home from the, you know,
and
boxing
ring.
And
she barely speaks.
Her brother suggests that she is developmentally delayed.
Yes.
That she has some
mental challenges.
Mental problems. And she wears this sort of wool cap that she pulls low. She wears cat eye glasses. And she just
peers suspiciously at everything and says nothing.
Right. And she sort of is very close. She wears sort of a heavy wool coat and just barely speaks. At one point, the boss tells her to go down and clean the cat cages, clean the litter in the cat cages, and boy, did I relate to that.
Yeah, I see another relatable thing.
Yeah. And this was apparently, this made it seem like she was like Cinderella or something, and guess what, Adrian? You work at a pet store, you're going to clean some animal waste, but
okay.
I feel that section was in there in order to show like how put upon she was,
Well, she was asked rather in a very non-nice tone to go ahead and do that.
No, I don't think that was a non-nice tone. No,
it was like,
not
get
at
down
all.
There, idiot.
No, well, she didn't say get down there, idiot. No, you're thinking of
loosely quoting.
You're thinking of another film altogether. Okay. But anyway, so Rocky keeps, you know, trying to flirt with her.
He gets nowhere.
He tells a joke
to the animals because you won't listen to me.
Yeah, exactly. Then he talks to the fish. He talks to the turtles, and one of the turtles seemed to really be turned on him. All right. So then,
we're going somewhere.
So finally, he goes out with her. Right. He goes out on Thanksgiving. He goes to Polly's house.
Polly throws a turkey in the alley.
And insists that his sister Adrian go out with Rocky, and they go to a skating rink.
Sure.
And they hang out at the skating rink for a little while, and then they go back to his house. By the end of this one night date, she's got color in her cheeks.
Yeah.
Right? She's like the hippest dresser in all of Philadelphia.
Well, she's dressed the same at the end of the date.
No. Well, not maybe at the end of the date, but the next time you see her.
The next time you see her, she's a lot more fashionable.
She is in this like snappy little red outfit.
She's talking.
She talks a blue streak.
Yeah.
Her hair is totally different. It's got a sheen to it.
Rocky did that to her.
I am having such a good time right now.
Are you really?
Yeah, I am.
Why?
I don't know.
It's fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
So it's because there's no guest to interrupt you.
I think that's part of it.
Yeah. Really what's happening.
Yeah.
I'm having fun too.
Yeah.
But Rocky, I guess what you left out is that at the end of the date, Rocky has sex with her. She has sex with Rocky.
Well, we're assuming they have sex. I don't know for sure.
It's pretty heavily implied.
But she never needs her glasses again.
Right. And, next time we see her, she's watching TV with no glasses.
Warby Parker has sponsored our podcast before, and I don't know if they will or won't again. I have no idea.
But I do
want to point out that if you use glasses, you could actually repair your eyes by just fucking Rocky.
Yeah. Well, I think that's pretty clear.
And
that's
then you don't have to do the measuring and try on the different frames.
All the headaches. No, just fuck Rocky.
No, yeah. I really am having such a good time.
I'm having a good time, too. Now, let me point out that it wasn't totally consensual.
This is a part of the movie that might not have aged really well. No, it's a little Me Too-y.
Yeah, it's a little hashtag Me Too-y because first she's standing outside the house.
Right.
And she's like, I don't think I should come in. He's like, hey, you should come in.
Yeah.
He's like, nah, I really want to go home. I'm not taking you home. Come in.
Yeah.
And she comes in.
Yeah.
And then she finally lets him know, look, I'm not comfortable here. She says it very clearly.
Yeah, she does.
I want to go.
Yeah. Because by this time, she's had the speech impediment has already disappeared.
Right. Just in anticipation of what's
going to
happen.
The first thing that she said clearly in the whole movie was, I am not comfortable with this.
Yes, I do not want this. No means no.
He literally blocks the door. Which is a little bit Me Too-y.
I think it's kind of a lot Me Too-y.
It wasn't as bad as I remembered it.
It wasn't as bad as you remembered it. But I think when your date says, I'm not comfortable, I want to go home, and you block the door with your arms and say, I'm going to kiss you now. You don't have to kiss me back if you don't want.
Yeah, he did.
That's very Me Too-y.
When you think when this movie was made, that was really pretty. That was really pretty. That was like, that one section was written by Billie Jean King.
Really? That was progressive.
It was very progressive. I'm going to kiss you and you don't have to kiss me back.
Right.
But of course she does.
She does kiss him back.
Kiss him back.
And he just manages to drill some style, language ability, and fashion sense into that woman.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, the next scene you see her in,
fantastic.
She's like a babe. She's totally, she's conversing about literature and art.
She's not. There's no conversing about literature.
And there's a point at which, by the way, she stands up. She gets in an argument with her brother at one point. They're sitting together at Polly's house and Adrian's house, and Rocky and Adrian are together. And Polly comes in and he's upset over something that he hears them say.
Right.
And they get in a big argument.
Yes.
And Adrian stands up and yells something at her brother that Adam and I both were like, what?
Yeah, we went back and listened twice more.
Yeah.
I have a very special surprise for you. Our producing partner, Tony Anita Hull, has pulled that clip from Rocky so we can play it for our audience. Now, Ray Horseman, do you have that ready to go? Let's listen to Adrian and what she says in this moment.
Get your meat every morning. You forgot that, man. I even give you my sister.
That's Pauly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So the very end of it. Look, can we just hear Talia Shire's line again? Because it's so convincingly delivered. Yeah. We just didn't have any idea what that was. Yeah.
Apparently the director was just over at the craft services table during that moment.
Yeah.
Nobody said, Talia, come back. What the fuck did you say?
You know, in fairness, she might have said exactly what Sylvester Stallone wrote.
Yeah.
Because I understand his handwriting was much like his speaking voice.
And no,
he wrote this in 3.5 days.
He wrote it in 3.5 days. But what a lot of people don't realize is that often Sylvester Stallone's fingers would come off the home row.
Oh.
And
you think this is a typo?
Yeah, and then he would just type
Talia Shire is just delivering a typo?
And then he would type lines like, Hada, Peter Hada.
Yeah. You know what? I have an even better surprise for you.
Wait a minute. You know what? How are you feeling right now?
Pretty good.
Oh, good.
Yeah. How are you feeling?
Great.
Yeah, this is really fun.
Yeah, I'm having such a good time.
Tony Anita Hull turned on the closed captioning on the movie. And so it's possible
Hull is a genius.
Yeah, it's quite possible that the closed captioning person got this completely wrong or was just like, you know, fuck it. I'm just going to write something.
Yeah.
But Tony, what is this line that we just heard?
Only a pig would say that.
Only a pig would say that.
Oh, my gosh.
Want to try to hear it again?
Only a pig would say
just
that.
Just for our listeners.
You know what happened?
Yeah.
That's a line from Charlotte's Web.
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
But let's hear it.
Charlotte says it.
I'm pretty sure she doesn't. Let's listen to this again. Let's see if we can hear her yell, only a pig would say that. Absolutely. Right? There it is. It's like suddenly it comes into focus.
But she said like she was being chased. Only a pig would say that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like she'd been threatened that if she didn't get that line out before the clock struck midnight, they'd punch her or something.
Tell you now. Only a pig would say that. Oh, my God. Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you what. She didn't talk to Michael Corleone like that.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, Michael. Only a pig would say that.
Now, I have I want to point out that we're, I think, 10 minutes into this review, maybe 15. We haven't mentioned that it's a boxing flick. Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
First sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix Sleep Quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux, and I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on, and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14-karat gold jewelry and, like, all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's boxing involved
in this
movie.
I thought everybody knew that already. Yeah, but, okay, so it's a boxing movie. Here's another thing that made no sense in retrospect.
Okay.
So a part of Rocky that I do like is that he realizes he's a, you know, sort of a two-bit fighter, right?
Right, and he's picked out of obscurity by the champ Apollo Creed, who's like, he has an opening on his schedule, he has a fight schedule, he's like, well, why don't I give some schlub a chance, schlub from Philadelphia?
And it's sort of a way of Apollo Creed making himself look like a bigger deal.
Yeah.
But they sort of pass it off. Like, oh, we're doing this great thing for a young fighter. And so Rocky gets his name picked out of a book. He gets this chance to fight Apollo Creed, and he begins training with great purpose.
With Burgess Meredith.
With Burgess Meredith.
Who, by the way, if you've got a movie and the most intelligible person is Burgess Meredith, that's saying a lot.
Because I need a manager, Rocky.
Yeah, I need a manager. Come on. Finally, pictures, I got clippings in the paper. Rock, this guy's gonna wrecking machine. Rock,
you know, just and like he's the most intelligible person. It's like Popeye were in that movie, Popeye would have been the most intelligible person in that movie.
Yeah, occasionally he slipped into the penguin every so often. Rock. Yeah, at one point during the fight, when Burgess Meredith, who plays a character named Mick, he's on the side of the ring and he yells in, "Batman!" And you could just tell that he forgot for a second.
Yeah, he was very old at that time.
And the director was over the craft service table, didn't even notice.
The director was MIA for a lot of this. But you were saying something about what you liked.
All right, so what I did like, there's a scene where Rocky realizes that despite this intense training, that he's actually not going to be able to win the fight.
Right.
And he makes it his goal to go all 10 rounds.
To go the distance.
Instead of getting knocked out early. So
which I believe became one of the slogans of the movie or one of the sequels, Go the Distance.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
So he modifies his expectation. So somehow the crowd that's watching him apparently in the fight gets wind of this because they're all very excited when he loses,
right?
But doesn't fall down. They're very excited.
I get that.
But the end of the most famous scene of the whole thing,
right,
with the exception of running up the stairs in Philadelphia,
right?
The most famous scene of the whole thing is at the end of the fight. You know, his eyes have been they cut his eyes
because they were so swollen
he couldn't see, and he's all messed up. And he's disgusting, really.
Yeah.
And only a pig was dead. And So the fight is over, you know, ding, ding, ding. Apollo Creed is the champ, and Rocky just stands in the middle of all this chaos because I don't know why everybody's coming in the ring now. And he yells, "Adrian!"
He starts yelling for Adrian.
"Adrian!" Yeah. And I just can you think of an athletic event that you've seen?
I'm a big sports fan, as you know.
Where either the winner or the loser stood, like, who just won? Was it the Red Sox won the World Series?
They did. The Red Sox won the World Series.
Okay.
If you recorded that on your, sorry for the spoilers.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Didn't think about that.
Some people wait till Christmas.
So was there like a pitcher or a catcher? Who was this famous, who was the star of the Red Sox now?
Well, there's a lot of stars in the
Red
Sox.
What's his name?
Chris Sale.
Okay. So would Chris Sale have ever stood in the middle of the baseball diamond and called, "Mrs. Sale, Mrs. Sale"? Like,
well, you
it's
make a good
weird
point.
Time to call your girlfriend.
Right.
You know,
and if you wanted to call your girlfriend, you wouldn't call Mrs. Sale.
No, but I'm saying, I'm assuming that Chris Sale is married.
I don't know.
But he just stands, Adrian, and then she makes her way down the aisle in the auditorium or wherever.
I'm fascinated that you're so fascinated with this moment.
She comes onto the boxing ring.
What? Yeah.
She actually comes onto the boxing ring.
But there are dozens of people on the ring at that moment.
And she hugs him, and they both shout that they love each other. It's just, I've never seen that in a sporting event before.
It doesn't happen
you.
A lot.
I love you.
you. I love you.
It never happened. What do you mean it doesn't happen a lot?
Well, the thing is that
it
most...
It never happens.
Here's the thing. Most sporting events, when you see them, it's a lot of professional athletes. I think one of the points, one of the poignant points about Rocky is that he is far from a professional. He can barely get a
Apollo
fight.
Creed is a professional. Oh, it was a big, huge
fight.
What
was he supposed to do? Stop Adrian? Like, hey, that's not how we do things in professional boxing.
Oh, so you're saying that Adrian made this sports transgression because they're not experienced?
Adrian and Rocky, yeah, they're just a couple of crazy kids with learning disabilities.
And he was just disgusting, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, the point, the idea that anybody would hug him.
Right.
You know, his face is bleeding. He's sweaty. He's
yeah,
like,
Adrian!
Yeah, no. It was, Creed is many generations away from that, Creed 2.
Yeah.
And Creed 1.
Creed is actually a really good movie. I've seen pretty much all of them. I haven't seen Creed 2 yet. But Creed is a really good movie. For those of you who don't follow the franchise, in Rocky 4, a half-machine Soviet fighter named Ivan Drago, I can't remember which is, punches Apollo Creed dead. Like, that's the beginning of the movie.
Wow.
And then basically nothing else happens besides musical training montages. And then Rocky punches Drago nearly dead.
Yeah. Not totally dead, though.
So, and then he ends the Cold War.
Well, yeah. But what people don't realize happened with Drago after that.
Right.
He began hacking.
He became a hacker.
He became hacking the Democrats' emails.
Oh. The same guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, not sure that's true.
A lot of people don't realize
Dolph
that.
Dolph Lundgren was an actor who played.
Dolph Lundgren has been involved in the, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, possibly. In any case, Creed is the story.
I personally think Dolph Lundgren has something on Lindsey Graham. That's what I think. I'm just going to say it here.
Wow. Well, you heard it here first. In Creed, what happens, and you'll never hear it again anywhere else. What happens in Creed is that Creed's son is a boxer. He wants to live up to his dad's, his late father's dynasty, I guess, and Rocky ends up training him.
Oh, yeah.
And fighting cancer, I think, at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can punch cancer. People don't realize.
Rocky doesn't punch cancer. Yeah. He just has it.
Forget the meds. Punch it.
Yeah.
I'm having such a good time right now.
This is really fun.
Yeah. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. You?
Good. Yeah, good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little tired.
Yeah.
I mean, our listeners should know that this is the second show we're taping of the night.
Oh, my gosh. We're going crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's got a 93% certified fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes based on 57 reviews. It's a really well-reviewed
57
thing.
57 reviews is not a big... That's not a lot to base...
You think it's not enough?
I think it's not enough.
All right, well, if you're listening to this, you want to go review Rocky. But I, as you said, I think it held up. I think the one sin it created is... It more or less invented the training montage, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
And that has been so overused.
I do it my way here on Miranda. I do a little running thing.
Yeah, that's just because you're scared.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So I do it like this. Da-da-da! Only a pig would say that!
Da-da-da! Not the face! Not the face. All right, So there we go. Wait, I'm just checking my notes. We do have notes.
Yeah, we have notes.
All right. So, yes. Are you ready?
All right. So the verdict on Rocky. The verdict.
Yeah. The what verdict is your verdict on whether you should go see Creed 2 based on having watched Rocky?
Well,
this segment is so poorly conceived.
It's not true.
We just want to talk about movies.
This is an absolute.
We come up with this awful,
no,
awful
this
framework.
Is a guideline.
Yes.
To the movie goer.
All righty then, Paula Thompson. What's your advice as to what we should do here?
I think that Creed 1 was probably a fluke if it was good, and that I wouldn't risk my $14 on the sequel. To the spin-off sequel to the sequel to the sequel to the sequel. I just think...
As usual, I don't agree, because I thought... But it has nothing to do with that first Rocky movie. I just thought Creed 1 was a really good movie, and I would want to see what happens in that guy's life.
You want to see what happens in what? The young Creed guy's
young
life?
Young Creed's life, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd say see it. Paula says don't see it, which is more or less the conclusion we've come to at the end of every single one of these segments. We don't even have to watch the movies now. But we did, and that was Movie Reviews to Save You the Trouble of Seeing the Only a pig would say that! Good times.
So sleepy.
Paula, don't go to sleep!
Ow! You hit me!
If you fall asleep, you'll die.
What?
Remember, you accidentally got us locked in this meat locker?
Oh, that's right. I was so caught up in reminiscing about previous episodes that I forgot that what's happening on this show is that we're stuck in a meat locker and are almost certainly going to die overnight. And I did this. It was my boner.
Boner.
And I don't even eat meat. This is so off-brand for me. Hey, what are you doing?
We need to huddle together for warmth.
Are you coming on to me?
What? No, I'm trying to keep us alive.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
No, they don't.
I mean, imagine if they find us in the morning and the last thing I carved into this side of beef was hashtag me too.
I wasn't hitting on you, okay? And, okay, Paula, my body temperature is dropping rapidly. I see the blackened ends of my fingers indicating frostbite. My extremities are losing all sensation. So, in these final moments of my life, what other great podcast segments do you remember?
Before I die, and it is an honor to freeze to death with you in this meat locker, before my plasma stiffens into a block of ice, I was thinking about the Star Spangled Banner segment.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. It seems like only yesterday. Only yesterday.
I do hope someday to be asked to sing the national anthem.
Well, that's where we're going with this, because we really weren't going to be talking about football, so a bunch of jocks turning off their podcast right now, like, oh, I wanted to hear Paula's predictions for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Namath just clicked us off. This podcast.
No. So you haven't ever been asked to sing the national anthem.
I have not been asked to sing the national anthem, and yet so many celebrities, and I'd like, you know, I have a podcast, so I would like to call myself a celebrity,
right,
have been asked.
Well, I'm going to say my thought is that one of the reasons why you've yet to be asked is because you do not sing.
Okay, that has been in my way.
Right.
Until now.
Right. Tonight we're going to change all that because we have invited on our program someone who can coach up your national anthem singing skills. Jeremy Frank is the associate chorus master at LA Opera and a part-time lecturer in the vocal arts and opera department at USC. So it's really like we're using a nuclear bomb to hammer in a nail right here. Please welcome Jeremy Frank.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 nine-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
I'm so excited to have you. I can't believe somebody with that kind of resume is here on Miranda Avenue with a, is it Avenue or Street? Are we Avenue?
You know, I don't think they've decided yet.
It's not really on a map. It's just
not
sort
the
of,
kind of place that you'd, yeah, if you yeah. were you were to Google us, you'd,
yeah.
You know, somebody did, and they sent me a little picture, I think it was on Facebook, of where they thought our studio was, and it's not. You weren't sending us this Miranda Street. This one's a different one.
it was a better, a higher class Miranda Street.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, look for the
Jeremy,
the
welcome.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you
Thanks
for
having
here.
Me.
Now, why is the national anthem, our national anthem in the United States of America, so hard to sing?
It's actually a complicated answer because there are so many reasons that our national anthem is super hard to sing.
Don't
use a toilet as an analogy.
I think it's safe that I can avoid that.
Okay, great. So some of the reasons. I mean, it's a big range,
it's
right?
It's a big, big range. Like, if I play middle C on the piano, like this.
We have a piano here tonight, too, ladies and gentlemen.
Here. Very yeah. fancy. You know, a lot of, like, let's say we're going to do God Save the Queen.
Okay.
That only.
What makes you think we're not?
Oh, well, we might go there. Who knows? That song only requires really 8 or 9 notes.
Uh-huh.
I figured it out. Dun, dun, I wrote dun, it down. Dun, it's, dun, dun, yeah, it's actually less than an octave.
Less than an octave.
Less than an octave. Mm. So most.
Even a da 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 da.
Yeah. Da 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 da.
Just a fifth up!
I didn't know that was. I didn't know that was God Save the Queen.
Wait for it. That's the high note.
Wow.
So almost every person has an octave worth of usable stuff.
Sure.
Our national anthem, however, you need a low C if you're doing it in C major, and yeah. it goes up 12 whole notes.
Yeah.
That's a
That's
lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah. yeah.
That's a lot. Even for, I mean, trained singers have about 2 octaves, a little more, a little less, depending on the type of singer that they are.
Yeah.
But for like civilians, people right. off the street, that's a lot to ask.
That's a lot to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, it's a bad song.
Well, it's one of those songs that was not written, like the music and the text were not written at the same time. The text, of course, is a poem right. that Francis Scott Key wrote, and he wrote it as a response to watching a battle in the War of 1812.
Did he write it during the battle? Was he like out
yeah.
on a ship? I think that's what I...
Yeah.
He probably tried to sort of like come up with the tune that night, and people were like, Francis, shut up! He was like...
Well, actually, he came up with...
Francis,
stop.
Da, da.
Well, he came up with the words that night. He came uh-huh. up with 4 verses of words.
Uh-huh.
And then he showed it to his brother-in-law. And yeah. his brother-in-law
was
like...
always negative.
Well, he was like, you know what that sounds like. It sounds like this Glee Club men's society tune that they sing all the time. And so he thought, oh, gosh, the same number of words and the same number of notes. This kind of fits. We should just slap them together.
Uh-huh.
And that's another reason why it's a little hard to sing, actually, because there's not tons of thought given to, like, if that high note yeah. is easily sung on the word land of the free, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
That may or may not work for some people.
I don't. Just the whole anthem never works for me. But I understand you've got a couple of encounters with the anthem that you've enjoyed.
Oh, I remember one time watching was a basketball all-star game on television with my father, and Marvin Gaye did a version, which was the first time I had ever heard, like, the audience was audibly responding to his singing of it in such a way, like, it actually was giving people pleasure in a way that I have never heard the national anthem give. I mean, I realize it has significance to people, but I've never heard it really give people pleasure before.
Right. It was Marvin Gaye. You're sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
Well, we looked that up, Paula Poundstone, and Marvin Gaye did, in fact, sing the national anthem at the 1983 NBA All-Star Game. Hit it!
Oh, my God, I win!
And there's a recording of it.
Can you see by
all right. That's fantastic. No, you are not wrong.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jeremy?
Version.
That's a lot of pleasure.
Can you
sure.
can you teach Paula to do that?
By the way, my father hated it.
No, I'm not really that kind of coach.
Okay. But, you're gonna do well just to get her from beginning to end.
You know, we'll see what we can
do. Can we do that? Can we coach her?
So you know, another thing that's hard before we start this, because yeah. it actually, like, you can totally screw yourself over right from the get-go with one important reason that the song is hard.
Because you start too high.
You start too
and
high, and then nobody
there.
Has
I
the high
I thought you
note.
Were going to say, if you drink a soda.
No,
we recommend that highly.
Yeah.
No, this actually happens
so
very frequently.
You should start pretty low.
You should start relatively low, and it depends on how low you can go. Fortunately, this digital piano that I brought with me today can do all of the hard thinking for me.
Oh,
so
wow.
I can play it in whatever key, and we can find the perfect key for you.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
But, you know, when this song was published for the first time,
uh-huh.
it was published in C major. I don't know what kind of chipmunk people used to live in the 19th century.
They were all chipmunk people.
They were all chipmunk people, yeah. All of whom who had a high G.
Right.
And very few of us do now. I certainly don't.
So let me identify another potential trap. Is that first note, or actually the third note, the say, is that the lowest note in the song?
It is.
Oh, good. So if you can hit that note, you're good.
If you can, like, we will know right away if we've hit on it.
So we've
got
to find Paula's bottom. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, find my bottom.
Yes.
Very important to do while singing.
Yeah.
So I think, I'm curious. Let's just sort of, I propose that we start here.
Okay.
Let's see how that goes.
Okay. Oh, say, can you see?
That's actually not so bad.
I don't know the words, come to think of it.
That is another hard thing about this anthem, because, oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light
what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming.
It starts with two extended questions.
Yeah, very extended.
Say, can you see?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then, say, can you see? Stripes and bright stars. Why are we asking questions? Tell us. You're there, Francis.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was really just a guy who could barely see that was on a boat.
Yeah. He was asking somebody else if he could see.
Say, can
he
you
was
see?
An oboist.
And the guy said, get your hand off my face. He said, oh, say, can you see? Okay.
So actually, that's not a bad start.
Thank you
sounded
very much.
Like she could go lower than that, and she's going to run into trouble high.
Uh-oh. I think we should check it out. We'll go down another whole step.
Okay. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed?
You hit the proud.
And then I forgot
the twilight's
last gleaming.
Whose broad stripes?
Second question.
Whose broad stripes
and
bright stars
through the perilous fight?
Through the perilous flight.
Or the ramparts
we watched.
We're so gallantly streaming.
Okay, that's great to this point. I would submit that now she's fucked.
I don't know for sure.
Really?
Actually,
if you guys could only see the look on our recording engineer's face right now.
He's weeping.
This is probably the most pain that he's ever been in.
Ray Horseman is not loving this.
That he had a surgery once without anesthesia, but just used a breathing technique.
Yeah. You know, I hate to contradict you. I have to say, I work with trained singers both at USC and at the opera, and I really was excited to come tonight, but I wasn't sure. You sing well.
Yeah.
I've heard you make like vocal noises on like other episodes, and I was like, this is a musician lady.
I have made vocal noises.
You have.
Yeah, and remember the time I went, whoo?
Yeah, I do remember.
Often hard to stop you from making vocal noises.
And I didn't know about the drum lessons. Had I known about that, I would have been reassured.
So you are now feeling great about Paula's prospects to hit the rest of the song.
I think so.
All right, let's do it.
I think so.
You don't think that it's gonna go too high for me?
You know what? If it does, we'll just make the piano go down more.
Yeah. Okay.
And the thing is, you know, when I was thinking about when you guys first reached out and said, hey, would you come do a coaching on the national anthem? I kept thinking, God, there's that high note at the end.
Sure.
The honest truth is, we're about to hit the high note.
I know,
in context.
I have anxiety already. Yeah. I have high note anxiety.
So I thought it was one high note at the end, instead it's like three or four high notes.
Oh, Jesus, don't tell me that.
It's Amber Rock and Fred Glare, right?
This is like I'm working out and the trainer guy goes, he'll say like, do 15, and then he goes, oh no, I meant 25.
Yeah,
and all the life goes out of me.
Yeah. But, you're just finally spent, and he's put you through everything you're capable of doing, and
which was five.
We're done warming up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Or he says, that's the first one, and now we do five of whatever that series is.
You know, let me observe one thing, though, that you're doing beautifully.
Well, thank you
so
very much.
So one of the tricks of this, another trick of this.
The money guy didn't say that.
No. You win, Jeremy.
Yeah. Well, I haven't brought up the toilet yet.
Yeah,
there's still time.
The money guy said, put your hat out. That's what he said. Yeah.
So one thing that's hard about this song is it's very angular melodically.
Very angular.
Instead of being like a scale where the notes are next to each other, we've got these big jumps.
Uh-huh.
And it makes your body feel tempted to smack each note with air.
Uh-huh.
Like this. Oh, Jose, can you see?
Yeah. But we don't want to use air?
We want to use smooth air.
Oh, dear. back.
No. You definitely want to use air. You definitely want to use some air.
Otherwise,
what are you saying? You weren't huffing and puffing your way through it like other people might be tempted to.
That's exactly right.
Because I was using the breathing technique that Jorge uses.
That was honed from dozens of years of nonstop talking.
Yes.
That breathing technique.
That no, the one that Ray Horseman used during his anesthesia-less surgery.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
So, this smooth breathing, this smooth exhaling, Italians for centuries would call this legato singing, or singing where the notes are bound to each other, which is, you know, what that Italian word means.
You know, I used to live in Boston, and it's a small city, but there was an Italian section. And
the
a
North
lot
End.
Of times, the North End, a lot of times the Italians would get up in the morning and walk by my apartment over in Copley Square, and they would say, she's doing the legato singing.
Oh, that's a nice legato she's doing there. Yeah. That's why I like walking to buy Paula Poundstone's place on the way to work.
So you're exactly right. That is what the Italians call
it. Such beautiful legato. She should sing sometime.
She should do the national anthem.
Yeah, of course, it's different. It's a different song in Italy, though.
Oh, is it?
It's even more legato.
Oh, is it?
Oh yeah. This is not their national anthem.
No, they don't sing our national anthem in Italy, do they? No.
They hate it.
So anyway, this legato, this beautiful natural legato singing that you've got going for you.
Oh, yeah, that's what I guess.
We're going to need it at its most extreme level when we sing high, regardless of which key we do.
All right.
Because if you bluster air at your vocal cords, they'll want to blow apart when you're singing high. And then your neck will want to get involved. Your muscles will think,
God,
I need
to help
out.
This song makes people tense.
Yeah. It makes
people
tense.
I don't want my neck muscles getting involved.
No.
No one does, really.
Yeah.
Really? You want to have that relaxed neck when you sing?
One of my New Year's resolutions was not to involve my neck muscles in anything.
I always perform concerts lying down when I sing.
Well, that's why my head is tilted back right now.
I'm sorry. You do know the Homer Simpson's episode where he and everybody realizes that he can be a famous opera singer, but only if he's lying flat on his back.
Oh, no,
I've
not
seen hilarious.
That
one.
I never saw that.
And in fact,
I just reinvented it here, but I know.
In fact, in that episode, he's lying on his back singing the end of La Boheme or something, and his buddies are up in the catwalks looking down, and they're like, oh man, Homer, you're amazing. You're going to be famous. And one of them goes, no, you're going to be opera famous. That is how I feel most of my life.
Oh, you opera know? Famous. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's get Paula to that note. I want to hear it.
Okay. I can't wait.
So this is going to be, and the rocket's red glare. But
where was she before? She has to re-rack a little bit.
Okay,
right?
Let's go back just a little. Let's do, or the ramparts we watched.
I forget what we watched.
Oh, we're the silently streaming.
Okay, start me off again. Or the where are we?
I will just say
she just jumped out an octave.
I'm
she
in
did.
Italy.
She's singing
did
in
I
my
go
opera
deeper
or
now?
In my octave now.
Did I just go?
You
did
went
down
an octave, dropped down, which
oh
is clever,
my God,
clever, because now that jump up is going to sound really good.
That's right.
Yeah. It was because I disengaged my neck muscles.
Oh, yeah, that's what happened. That's what happened.
Let's go back a little farther.
Okay,
let's go
broad
back.
Stripes.
Yeah,
whose broad stripes
and bright stars
through the pear.
I think now I'm on the wrong note entirely.
No, you're doing great. Okay. You're killing it.
All right, where are we? Who?
Yeah.
I want to do it like this.
Who's broad stripes?
Whose
broad stripes?
Whose broad stripes?
Bodies.
I want to do it more like a rooming house matron.
Whose broad
stripes are these? Get these fucking broad stripes out of here.
I don't come home after a long day. See broad stripes everywhere.
You kids, pick up your broad stripes and your bright stars. All right, here we go. All right, tell me what note it is.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous night
or the
ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
And the rockets.
And the rockets.
Uh-oh. Red.
Oh, okay.
I like that uh-oh better than almost anything.
It was like I had just missed a sharp left turn. All of a sudden I saw one-way only facing me. Okay. All right,
Okay. For my money, that is a viable solution. Like,
Why didn't he write those words, uh-oh?
Because he wasn't writing them to the tune.
Yeah, that's right. So wait, where was I? I had this.
Yeah.
We're so gallantly streaming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let
me find my notes. We're so gallantly streaming.
Wait. Ray handed me. Where are we? So gallantly streaming. Where's that? Who thought of that? Okay. All right. Where are we starting?
We're so gallantly streaming.
And the rock. I can't switch there.
And the rockets.
Yeah, you got it.
Bursting in air. Get
neck muscles.
Well, some of you are allowed.
All right, Jeremy, get me started again. Get me to the top of the hill. And I'm going to fucking roll down, baby.
Okay, so we're going to start.
Oh, my God.
I can't sing this high to, like, get you in the right octave. But
I can.
Adam, you can. Okay. We're so gallantly. Help us out.
We're so gallantly streaming.
I gotta say, this is making me feel the home of the brave.
I say to my students and
the singers that I work with at work, I think one of the most generous things you can do in humankind, and I'm not joking about this, is actually sing for somebody else. Because your instrument is part of your body.
Yeah, right. It's my instrument. You know.
That's your instrument that you're using. It's part of your body.
I gotta have my instrument checked.
A beautiful thought.
That was a very beautiful
But it takes a lot of generosity to do something
there,
like that.
See?
Yeah, that was. Yeah, thank you for sharing your voice with us, Paula.
Right. And I thank you to get your broad stripes. Pick your broad stripes up off the stairs.
If I come across one more broad stripe.
All right, there's a part, though. Let me just, I know that we've completed the song, but I just wanted a refresher on what was the part. Was it flag was still there that was very challenging, or was it bombs bursting in air?
It's the rocket's red glare.
Okay. Bombs bursting in air.
All right. Do we just do that one part again?
Yeah.
Just in case, you know. Yeah. Because you know what? What if my neighbors have like a Super Bowl watching party or something? And right. They go, hey, we listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Would you, you know, they want to know that it wasn't faked.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Adam, you are way better at getting falsetto up than I am.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
So wait, here we go.
I can't do it that way.
It's beautiful, Homer. So why don't I count us in? I'll go.
Okay, ready?
You totally are. Okay. So I'm going to count one, two, then we'll all sing together.
Okay.
One, two.
And the rocket's red glare.
Bird's bursting in air gave proof to the...
Oh. Did I go down again?
You did go down the octave.
Oh,
you're singing more manly than my we are, really.
All right, well, then where's the note? Tell me the note.
That's it.
God,
it's
well, I'm
impressive.
Not watching football.
Now teach her to do that thing where she goes, free.
Yeah, that's not for civilians.
Do people do that?
Civilians.
Do the people start on the low note and they go up?
Yeah, sometimes. Like, you know, it's not written.
No.
That's called an interpolation in opera where you take an optional high note.
I do that with
and
taxes.
And it's really showy in this song.
You do that what?
With taxes.
You should have mentioned that to the first guy on tonight.
No, we weren't talking about taxes. We were talking about keeping track of your income and what you spend.
Right,
I didn't have to mention the interpolation on my taxes.
No, you did not.
By the way, let me just
legally
take
obligated
that back
to mention it to the
because
government.
I love paying my taxes.
It's
actually,
very patriotic. Too.
It is
actually.
Very patriotic. That's exactly right. Yeah. And from now on, while I write out the check, I'm going to sing. And our flag was still there.
Okay, now Jeremy, thank you so much for tuning up, Paula. And Paula, having absorbed this knowledge and revealing yourself to be quite a good singer, what can you advise our listeners who might be wanting to sing that national anthem?
Hey, Rachel Van Amberg, house band. If I could have a little background music to explain what I've learned about singing the national anthem. You have to engage your neck muscles just a little bit, just enough to keep your head from bouncing around on the table. The whole thing involves planning. You have to start on a low enough note that you can get to the high notes.
Oh, say, can you see?
And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in. Totally relaxed neck right now. Or you can do what I do and just drift off on the high line. We're so gallantly streaming. I wonder how the toilet works. That was fun.
Yeah. Well, we may be about to die in this meat locker, but I really did have fun reminiscing with you about some of those great times we've had on this podcast, Paula.
Yeah. Why, I bet all those reminiscences would have been enough to fill a reasonably good clip show. Don't you think? Don't you?
Sure, pal. It would have been a great clip show. Why, it would have been produced by me and you and Ken Lezebnik and Bonnie Burns and Tony Anita Hall. The technical direction would have been by Ray Horseman, and it would have been mixed by Anthony Alfaro. Why, Jonah Knuckles Glickman probably would have provided security. Oh, it would have been grand.
Yeah. You know, I'm not so cold anymore.
Me neither.
But I sure am tired. Is this the end, old friend?
I suppose it is, Paula. I suppose it is.
Well, at least I'll never have to watch another shitty movie at your house. Goodbye, Adam.
Goodbye, Paul. Wait, what's that sound?
I think it's crinkling.
Only one person on Earth would be able to crinkle so loud so as to be heard through a steel-reinforced meat locker door.
It's my manager, Bonnie Burns.
We're saved. Bonnie.
Bonnie.
Paula, are you in the meat locker?
And Adam's here, too. I'm on every show.
Bonnie, thank God we heard you crinkling. We were about to die. You saved our lives.
Did you remember to promote your upcoming performances?
Oh, for the love of God.
I mean, you don't have to, but it's an opportunity, and I didn't know why you wouldn't take the opportunity when you have it.
Bonnie, my lips can barely move. My fingers are frozen. I can barely see.
Okay, well, I'm not saying you have to, but you are making appearances, and I don't know why you wouldn't take the opportunity to promote them.
Okay. Okay, I'll be in Seattle on May 10th at the Moore Theater, and I'm in Santa Rosa on May 18th at the Luther Purbrink Center for the Arts.
Okay, that's more like it. What about the t-shirts? Did you remember the t-shirts?
Bonnie, Paula and I are stepping out of this meat locker.
Wow, I'm cold.
That's probably the draft. I'll go get the door.
Bonnie! No!
God damn it, Bonnie.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.